And hello there. Welcome back to another episode of Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I am your habit change agent. You know all about habit change if you've been listening to this podcast, or if you've been dealing with problem habits that have got you feeling stuck or trapped or worried. And you've probably heard the phrase change agent, and I am here to support you in becoming a change agent in your own life, especially about patterns that aren't serving you and block you from getting where you want to go in your life. We are all about habit change from the inside out. In this show, one of the things we focus on is sharing some methods that I've learned over the last 30 years that can help you discover the hidden layers that are in yourself that get in the way of change. And we're all about making these building blocks more visible so that you can deal with them more successfully. And we also focus on reinforcing kindness, because it's just my experience that when we make mistakes, that may be from a habitual behavior itself, but there's another mistake that we make that compounds it, and that is by punishing ourselves when we've made a mistake. So we reinforce kindness because it's a better way to help you move your life in the direction you want to go. And I'm going to start today by role modeling kindness, because I've just been behind my usual schedule the last few weeks for getting this podcast out. Life has just gotten a bit jammed up lately, as it can do. This episode I'm dedicating to Rick Alber, who unexpectedly left the planet this past week from complications after heart surgery. Rick was a lawyer turned computer geek and a very interesting guy who married my cousin Maureen many years ago. He was an early adopter of web technology, and even though he couldn't carry a tune or dance worth a damn, Rick was pretty handy with a video cam and created all kinds of lovely videos on his side of the family. He was very, very creative. And with the permission of Duck's Breath Mystery Theater, Rick created the Ask Dr. Science website way back in 1996. So it lives on beyond him. Check it out at drscience.com. Bon voyage, Rick. You are missed very much by all of us. So here's today's topic. We've been on a series about sleep and fatigue, and we're in a conversation about the role of noise pollution in sleep disruption. It's a really big deal, and we live in a very, very noisy world, most of us. Last time we explored the inner game of that, your inner noisy dialogue, the way your busy mind gets in the way of change. And that includes that follow-up that we do when we make a mistake or when things go awry, where we punish ourselves. Have you ever done that? Well, that's part of noise pollution on the inside. Today we'll start with a little bit about external sources of noise, which create all kinds of health consequences, and how working with yourself can help, at least to some extent. Let's begin first with our Habits into Health practice, which we do in each episode. If you've listened before, you know that this gives you a small taste of self-exploration in a particular kind of way. We learn by what we do. We learn from our actions, and not from what we think. That's not the way we've been socialized to believe. We've been socialized to believe that the mind is in charge. But in fact, the mind is a part of a bigger field of energy that we call the body or the being. And so in this podcast, you get a chance to teach yourself through your own experience. And we focus on letting your body take the lead so that your mind doesn't have to, so that your mind can be a partner with you instead of being a dictator trying to run the show, which is a habit that a lot of us fall into, and it really just gets us in trouble most of the time. I call this the Habits into Health practice because it is a practice. That means that when you practice something over time, You develop a skill set and it becomes easier to enter the practice. It's very much like learning how to ride a bicycle. Once you know how to ride a bicycle, you can come back and ride that bike pretty efficiently. The same thing happens here. If you wait until you really need this practice, you will not have developed the practical skill of engaging it. So that's why we do this in every episode. And a big part of it is learning how to recognize your own signals. So right now, just place your hands together, if you can. If you're driving, then you can just feel your hands on the steering wheel. Or if you're riding your bike, just feel the hands on your bike. And what you want to do is just increase the contact that you have. Hands to handle, hands to steering wheel, hands to each other. Just increase the pressure just a little bit. And just notice what this experience gives you. It may be hard to put into words, and that's okay. But you can kind of check out whether you feel pressure, tension, contact, heat, even moisture. Just take a moment to feel yourself. And then undo that pressure. Just back off. And notice what happens in each of your hands as you back off. And you want to be able to develop the skill of feeling this part of you without having to look at it. So, of course, unless you're riding that bike or driving when you need to be looking, if you're just sitting or standing, take a moment and close your eyes and just feel your hands. And if you're involved in another activity where you do have to look, look where you need to look. You don't have to look at your hands. Just allow yourself to feel the contact of your hands and what they're experiencing. Let them teach your brain. And over time, this will become easier and easier for you to do in the moments when you need it. Now we're going to make a shift, so take a deep breath, whatever it is you need to do. We'll have a little station identification, and then we'll go into our topic. You're listening to Habits into Health, and my name is Michaelanne Conley. I'm a holistic therapist, and I've been working with habit change all the way from really serious habits like addictions, started there about 30 years ago, still work with people who are dealing with those kinds of habits. I call them the usual suspects, drinking, smoking, drugging, and eating. But for so many of us, those are not issues. But we do have habits where we get really, really, really stuck. And it makes life unhappy. So that's why I created this program. And I'd like to hear more from you about what your experience is. So I created a survey. It's on my website at habitsintohealth.com. Come on over, click the link, and let me know what your relationship is to those habits that are creating problems for you. Whether they are those really serious, life-threatening kinds of addictions that will get you in trouble with the law, with your spouse, with your boss, or whether they are habits that maybe you notice and other people don't notice so much. Or they're habits that aren't going to end up with you in jail or with a DUI or something. But they still cause you so much pain. And I'd like to know more about what you're dealing with so that I can specifically target more of our topics to what you need. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just search under podcasts for Habits into Health at the iTunes store. And you can follow us on Facebook by going there and searching for habits.into.health. So let's move into our topic. We've been talking about sleep and fatigue, and I slowed that down a little bit to take a tour around noise pollution. I saw this great graphic, and I'm not remembering exactly where I saw it, but think of acute effects. Decreased sleep quality and quantity. That's just right there. You can have an increase in annoyance and feelings of stress and being distracted. You can also have temporary changes in your hearing because of noise. Then there are chronic long-term health effects. Hypertension, it affects your ability to learn and to be productive. There can be endocrine disruption, depression, weight gain, obesity. And then the long-term risks of noise pollution include heart disease, which are byproducts of hypertension and endocrine disruption, and permanent loss of your hearing, and even tinnitus, that kind of ringing that happens in a lot of people's ears. So whether noise comes from outside you and has these kind of health effects, or inside you and your own internal noise, where you're really stressing yourself out and creating problems in that way, the one thing that I see is that too many folks are putting too much responsibility for this on themselves, which is kind of tricky because we do want to take responsibility for our own part. But also, we shouldn't take responsibility for things that are bigger than us. There are a lot of things about noise pollution that we need to deal with in our communities. Using the administrative wing of our collective selves. That's also known as government. We do these things collectively to manage noises. Still, there are things you can do as an individual to manage as best as you can. So I've been recalling for us the Serenity Prayer because it's a really good reminder and perspective about what's your responsibility and what isn't your responsibility. So I'm going to remind us of that. The first piece is, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. There are things that are bigger than you. So, acceptance, which is a really big part, not just of the 12-step programs where they say the Serenity Prayer a lot, but also in Zen, in Buddhism, where acceptance is a very big part of that body of work. The second piece is, grant me the courage to change the things that I can. So one of the things that we all can do is shift our attitude about something. But there also may be some actions that we can take with regard to noise pollution to make our lives a little bit easier. And of course, the third thing is, grant me the wisdom to know the difference. That's where the real smarts come in. In this series about sleep and fatigue, I started researching about the role of noise pollution and all of the health consequences, and I just thought it would be good to deal with the impact of noise that comes from outside you. And I'm going to use as my example, traffic. Now, you may live in the countryside, and there's not a whole lot of traffic. But the vast majority of people in the world today live in urban areas or suburban areas. And so street noises, cars, trains, buses, sirens, all of that stuff goes on all the time. So a few years ago, I was living on a street that had really the worst kind of traffic, and it wasn't constant traffic. It was actually worse than living next to a freeway, because freeways have pretty constant traffic. It was intermittent traffic. And if you've ever lived in an area where there's constant traffic, there's a story my friend Richard Miles would tell about living in San Francisco, and it might sound familiar. At first, he had a hard time sleeping through the constant sounds of the traffic. But after a few months, the noise hardly registered at all, and he started sleeping through the night. And he attributed this to how the body will focus on unusual things, things that stand out, and then compartmentalize what is routine. This is actually a big piece about habit change, interestingly enough. My experience was of a different kind of street, and it was a whole other matter. This street wasn't constantly busy, but traffic would pass through loudly enough, just often enough, in an irregular way that just messed with my ability to get sleep. And my experiments might sound familiar to you as well. One, I tried earplugs. They sort of worked, but it didn't take care of the vibration of the traffic, because I was really close to the street. And it took a while to find earplugs that were comfortable and worked well enough. By the way, try silicone rather than foam. That's my recommendation. So around the vibration, we just assume that sound comes through our ears, but it doesn't. And you can tell yourself the reality of that by just placing your hand on your chest and saying a few words right after me, right now. And can you feel your chest resonating with the sound? Right, you can. So there's a vibration to noise that isn't just through the ears. It goes into your bones. And that's what was happening for me. The earplugs weren't good enough. So I turned on a fan. That was a little bit like a white noise machine, and it helped a little. But it wasn't consistent because the fan's noise just couldn't compete with the street noise. Well, when it was really bad, I would get out of bed and I'd do jumping jacks, which was my childhood remedy when I couldn't sleep. I had a lot more trouble sleeping when I was young than I do now. I would wear myself out with physical activity until sleep would just wash over me. But this didn't work enough of the time either. For me, the solution was actually a really simple one. I set up my music system. This was back when we had stereos with CDs. So I had a 5-set CD player. And I set it up to play meditative music throughout the whole night. And I set it up to play random repeat of all of these favorite slow instrumental musical pieces. And so if I woke up with traffic in the middle of the night, the music would put me back down to sleep. Here are some other ideas that I got, really great ideas, in my research. You can increase the fabric to hard surface ratio in your home. And that means anything from hanging curtains, and they don't necessarily have to be heavy curtains, to installing carpet or using rugs. You can get a water fountain. Although I'd say you'd want to get one with really audible sounds of water moving. A lot of water fountains are relatively lightweight, and they might be nice in a waiting room, like we have one in our waiting room at my office. But for this kind of traffic noise, you would want something that's actually much more audible than that. So test it out. And then the noise machines that are possible that you can buy online are really good, but get one that doesn't have a timer, because if it has a timer, it'll force you to set it to go off after an hour and a half, and that might not be long enough for you. So you want it to be set to a constant sound that covers up the traffic that's coming from outside, or any kind of noise that comes from outside, frankly, but you want it to run for as long as you need it to run. Now, personally, I do like the sound of real water moving rather than some of the sounds in those machines. But you may not have real water as an option. Then, if you own your own home, consider installing double pane windows with stronger seals. And then last but not least, you can do what I ultimately did. The traffic noise wasn't the only reason, but it was a big reason that I moved. The higher rent that I paid in my next place was a stretch at the time, but it was worth it because it was so much quieter and I got so much more rest. It's time to sign off for now, so I hope that this has been useful for you. Do the Habits Into Health practice. If you do that on a regular basis, you will probably find that you will have effects that will calm and soothe you. And I'd love to hear your feedback, so come to the website at habitsintohealth.com and let me know what is most important to you by clicking on the survey link. And then, you know, if you have a habit that's creating problems for you, or if you love someone who has problem habits, come over to the website and get my free ebook. It's called Do You Have a Habit, or Does Your Habit Have You? And it can help you clarify the issues you're dealing with. I always like to end by saying, start small. And be kind to yourself along the way. You have been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I am here to help you stop feeling out of control over those unhealthy habits, to stop wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and then to start creating a life where you're in charge of these habits rather than the other way around. Thanks so much for joining me.